Tomorrow I'll be heading south with the Minister of Agriculture to visit farm affected areas of Bovis. I'll be making a trip to Northland on Friday in various cities. In between, but look, we can open up for questions. Yes.
There seems to be a surprise that the president announced that the farmers just have on the much of the way of the week.
The chief executive.
Chief executive, sorry, the nurses organisation. I mean, does that concern you for you that you mean to get some side of the
Look, this is an ad for negotiation, but by way of the deal, it is a doubling of what the DHB last offered. It addresses some of the concerns that nurses raised around staffing issues with a pledge to bring on an additional 500 nurses into our nursing workforce. It's a 9% pay increase, and it also includes two new pay bands to address the fact that there are currently only six for our nursing workforce. And as I say, it is a half a billion dollar deal. It is, however, now for the nurses to consider. But obviously, now is the time that DHBs will need to plan for any contingency for strikes, if that is what nurses choose to do.
On the welfare overhaul, a working group's been announced today, looking at that. But you've already indicated some of the sanctions you would like to go, such as that when a mother doesn't name her father and it's $20 less a week for your welfare payment. Why are they reporting that next year? Is there anything you can do to make some of those, to make improvements on some of those sanctions earlier?
We put all of those things in together because there's an interplay between different rules and sanctions within our welfare system. It made sense for that expert group to be able to consider them all as a whole. No. And of course, you know, there's a range of issues that we need that group to consider. Particularly the complexity between even, for instance, the way that our tax credit regime works with our welfare system. So that complexity in itself means having people with expertise does enlarge the group. But no, I must just say that.
What do you make of the report at the weekend that Peter Matters, his former CIA analyst, says there should be a discussion about whether New Zealand and Australia should remain in Five Eyes given the level of Chinese
involvement? As I've already said publicly, I have not had those issues raised directly with me, and that is the basis on which I would consider that to be a serious issue. And so I do not share the concerns of the individual in question, who admitted this morning in national media that he was simply reiterating things he had seen already reported in New Zealand.
So you've had no concerns about potential donors being
there? No. The Five Eyes partnership I consider to be very strong. You've already seen me engage internationally with other members of the Five Eyes partners. I do not have those concerns. I think if they existed, I would know.
Just on abortion law reform, we saw the referendum in Ireland over the weekend. Justice Mazzanti Little has said that he would hope that there could be legislation before the House next year that would be a conscious vote. Pro-abortion groups have said that quite often we see with referendums, people are more in favour compared to when it comes to a conscious vote for leaders who are a lot more conservative. Do you think that that is the case?
Oh, look, and we're working through a process where I hope we would see a large range of support. I don't want to preempt that, but I hope the process means that we'd have a significant number of parliamentarians who would support the work that's been done. The Law Commission is leading it. They're undertaking a consultation process. We're trying to do this in a way that we can garner that support more broadly.
Andrew Middle said whether it would get into the House next year, providing government program recommendations at the end of this year, would depend on how many other things going on in the House. Would you make the priority need to do to ensure that that went through as quickly as possible?
Well, look, I think the first stage is actually making sure that we get that work back and drafted by the Law Commission. It's something that I've said in this term I'd like to see dealt with. And so, our focus for me will be making sure that we've got that broad support so that we can see it through to its end.
And just lastly, do you think New Zealand politicians should be embarrassed by how slowly we've done abortion law reform, considering Ireland is such a conservative country?
I think there is a difference. I mean, of course, you can access abortions in New Zealand. The issue is we still categorise it within our Crimes Act, and of course there are then a number of flow-on effects from it being categorised in that way for the way that women access. And so that's why I think it's only right that we have the Law Commission undertake this work, because as I've said, my personal view is that in 2018 it should no longer be a part of our Crimes Act, regardless of whether or not women can access it.
But based on the changes Ireland wants to make, they would actually be further ahead.
And we're doing the work as we speak.
In a pre-budget speech, you outlined business confidence as an elephant in the room. The business confidence figures coming out later this week. Do you think that the budget, as conservative as it was enough to get businesses on side?
Oh, look, I think these things sometimes have lags, so I won't be necessarily expecting that that would change overnight. As I say, the number one concern that I have is making sure that economic activity reflects reality, and that's continuing to be the case. And, you know, it's a bit more of an issue of pride around the perception issue more than anything.
Because some of the figures within that, the economic numbers, were actually quite rosy. Do you think that's going to be enough to push businesses over the edge?
Again, as I say, reality is much more important, but as a matter of pride, I wouldn't mind perception moving as well.
The Salvation Army is the latest to come out about the confusion around Kiwi. Is that policy just
doing the No, because the alternative is do nothing and continue to have a declining home ownership rate, and I don't accept that.
But do you
think
the public can be confident
when
you've got all
of the confusion? I accept that Kiwi Bill is ambitious. I accept that no government has tried to address a major gap in the market for affordable home ownership in the way that we are. We need to prove that it's possible, and that's what we're working on.
Will you consider importing workers kind of en masse as the government that are uncategory?
We were critical of any policy around bringing labour that didn't alongside it have a plan around training our domestic workforce. But we also acknowledge we have a skills gap right now. If we want to be able to deliver roofs over people's heads, we have to look at filling that skills gap. But we'll only do it alongside a plan to make sure that we're training New Zealanders at the same time.
So how many people are you going
to plan? Again, this is an area of work that I've asked our Minister of Building and Construction to look at. We need a long-term plan to train, to encourage more apprenticeships. That's what we were working alongside the industry on. But in the short term, we also have a skills gap we need to address.
How do you respond to people who say that the fees-free policy is actually drawing people away from apprenticeships, which is relatively cheaper, and into universities?
I would argue that that's not the case. If you move into a polytech course, you'll have 1 year free. If you become an apprenticeship apprentice, you get two. All right, thanks everyone.